Come on.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, and shave and haircut. Good evening and welcome to the Consciousness Shift. I'm one of your hosts, Gwendolyn Berry. I'm in South Florida, and tonight with me is my co-host, Nicole Tomasini, up in New York. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Gwen.
And we have two ladies with us. We're very excited to have them on with us this evening. Deborah Jacobs and Maureen St. Germain. Now, ladies, if I mispronounce, you will please correct me.
Sounds good.
Okay. I want to bring up, first of all, just on the top of it, to let everybody know and remember that both Deborah Jacobs and Maureen St. Germain have websites that you can all go to. We're going to be putting those into the chat room as the interview goes on this evening. And you can find all their information, what they have to offer, and I'm going to let them, including tonight, a special gift from Ms. St. Germain for all of our listeners. And Maureen, will this be up for people to tap into that might listen and archive?
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. That's very generous. So we will have that. And so let me go about stumbling into, because I feel a bit stumbled this week. You'll excuse me. I'm on second gear instead of first. So Maureen St. Germain, she's been doing workshops and giving tours, and I'm thinking, Maureen, this is all over the world to sacred spots.
I do sacred journeys to sacred spots. The workshops are to cities where the people are.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Since the mid 1990s, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And yeah. I also got as far into reading. You are a student of Drumvalos, right?
I was a student of his, and the work I taught of his is known as the Merkaba. I now have an updated version of that with all the material that came through me after 20 years of teaching it.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That makes all kinds of sense. And I see by your site here that you have a lot of different modalities and tools to offer people. You even work with essential oil blends and awakening the sensual aspect of things. You have guided meditations, and of course you have just I understand this is a re-release, but it's a new edit of a book called Be a Genie, correct?
Yes, the original was only in manuscript form because it had been accepted by a publisher, and then it got bounced back, so then we went back and published it ourselves.
Okay, and this is basically a book that gives you good tools on how to create the life you want, correct?
That's right, that's right, that's
there
right.
There you go. And with you tonight, your cohort here, and a friend of mine, Deborah Jacobs. Deborah you're actually a reader who works with a very unique guide, an archangel called Michael, yes?
Yes, I do. Since I was 6 years old.
That's going down the road a piece. Not too much of a piece, but a piece. And Deborah, you also work with dragon energy, as Maureen does. But I'm familiar with your work, a little bit familiar with how you work with dragon energy. And you are also you do readings and intuitive guidance. I'm thinking life coaching along those lines. Yes?
Yes, I do. I'm actually, if somebody goes to Shirley MacLaine's website, I'm the reader that you get when you order psychic readings.
I was gonna drop that in. You also do a bit of publishing on your own too, don't you?
I actually don't publish. I am an agent.
That's right.
And I represent authors and then a publicist for several of my amazing authors like Maureen. And I've got to toot Maureen's horn here because it never is brought up that often. And I've got to tell you, if you ever have wanted your Akashic records read, she is the most mind-blowingly accurate person I have ever met in my life. And I've known her for 18 years.
Well, that's a wonderful place to put our footstep here. Maureen, why don't you, if you will, would you explain to our listeners just exactly what it means to tap into the Akashic for them?
Okay. There's a lot of people using that word nowadays, so it is a good idea to start with a definition and come to terms that we are all talking the same language. The Akashic field is the area, the physical area, where the memories and the future memories of a person, a place, the planet, and so on exist. They're in a place that I name the 11th dimension. So it's not on planet Earth, although from another vantage point, you might say it's in planet Earth because the dimensions are nested. But essentially, it's so far apart from where we're at that we don't notice it. And we literally have to shift our frequency to get there. And it's the library of all that is. And what that means is it's the field that contains all the probabilities and all the possibilities and all the history. And it contains multiple versions of your life because you're living multiple versions of your life. And it is living. So even I don't go into the field, although I have. I got reprimanded for it. But you don't go in because like in a movie, Back to the Future, when Michael J. Fox was looking at the picture of himself with his family and then his mom's trying to kiss him and his face starts to fade off of that picture.
Yeah.
So it's like that. We don't want to artificially create something within that field. And the field is managed by some amazing beings whose whole purpose is to serve as guides to people like me and you who want to have access to that information. And finally, the records are open to everybody today. They weren't always. But because we're on our way back home to God, we have anybody can learn to open up their own records as well as people can learn to read for others.
I was going to say to you that in a way, from my understanding of the light bodies, of their construction, that what you describe as the Akashic is like the emotional body of the universe.
The emotional body of the universe is actually intact as an emotional field, and it's a different waveform because the Akashic record holds the emotional record and the physical record, the mental record, and so on, all of it, whereas the emotional record really is the energetic blueprint that may or may not contain everything. You see, because when we think of the energetic blueprint of the universe, we're thinking of one. The Akashic records hold multiples.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was thinking the universe held as in all that is, I guess. That's what I probably should have said. That's a really wonderful description, though, and I think it gives people a really bright idea of what you're talking about with the Akashic. And so we have a unique place in the Akashic, and you help us tap into that, or you can tap into that for us in reading, correct?
Yes, I teach classes on how to learn how to open the records, and I also open the records as a reader, a guide to the records for another person.
Gotcha. It's quite a gift to have. And you've been doing this for most of your life. Is this something that you developed yourself out of your fascination and following your own bliss, or is this something that you were born with? And as my mother used to say, is it a gift that you have?
Well, I think a little bit of both. Like Devra, I have been aware of my psychic gifts from the time I was 6 years old. Actually, I think I was five, Devra, because I was in kindergarten. And the teacher had, you know, called me up to her desk and she said, now, do you know what your address is? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you know what your phone number is? And I said, no. And she started to say something else. And I said, why are you asking me all these questions when I know perfectly well you've got it on that piece of paper in front of you? So she sent a note home to my mother. And what is, you know, in my child mind, first of all, I knew she had the information up there. So why did I have to have it? I didn't drive. I didn't need to know. And I'm looking at her thinking, why do I need to know this? My mom picks me up or somebody picks me up from this place. I don't need to know my way around. You know, it was a farm community.
Here you. So,
you know, and it wasn't until you're, you know, in hindsight, it's very obvious that I was psychic, because why would I have said that to her, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, as far as the gift of getting into the records, there's a couple of things that have happened to me that kind of amplified my service in that way. I've always been plugged in. I've always had information that I knew stuff, even though I didn't know how I knew. I also did a lot of spiritual work from the time I was a little girl, and had a very strong connection to spirit, did a lot of, you know, introspection and prayer work. You know, when I was maybe 10 or 11, I was walking around with this big book of the lives of the saints. And my mother hid the book because it was a gold leaf, you know, and it was real fancy, and she didn't want me to wreck it. And it only took one time and that she hid it, and I went right to the closet, got a ladder, and climbed up there and got the book out. Never did that again. But then at a later date, after I had been teaching meditation for many years, I was with one of my customers and she had to make a stop. And I said, is it all right with you if I just, you know, take a little rest while you're doing that errand? And she said, sure. So I stayed in the car and I came out of my meditation from that with a very clear message that someone else had a message for me. So I knew this person whose name was given in the reverie that I had taken. And I called her, and she had already gone to bed for the evening, so I spoke with her husband and gave him the message. And this was an astrologer that had done an astrology reading for me once, and a pretty well-regarded astrologer in that particular community. And she and I finally connected the next day, and I said to her, did you get the message, you know, that I left with your husband? And she said, yes. And she said, I thought I was supposed to update your astrology report. And I said, I wondered about that. And she said, well, I was told in no uncertain terms, no, we have a message for you. Maureen's being given access to a dimension that's been closed to humanity for eons. And then the work made a huge leap. So that when I asked, how come I didn't get that message? I was told, because I have such a big concern about what I will call aggrandizement or puffing yourself up, making yourself special. I wouldn't have accepted it if it had come through me. I would have just blown it off. So it had to come from outside of me. So I would, you know, through me, but outside of me, I would recognize it. And
you know, I see that all the time, and I hear that all the time. And, you know, I didn't know Archangel Michael was Archangel Michael until I went to meet with a woman who was a witch who I wanted to study under. And when I walked in, she says, what are you doing with Archangel Michael? And I'm like, oh, that's who he is?
That is,
yes.
Difficult to ignore.
And there were a number of other things that came through in that message, including the fact that I was being given a permanent guide and a number of other pieces that are not necessarily for public knowledge. But so from that point, then everything really took off. And the work I was doing around the meditation known as the Merkaba escalated, and I developed a whole technique on how to connect with your higher self and get 100% accuracy and a lot of other skill sets that were completely innovative. Nobody's ever used them before. And that's, you know, that was the background that came through after I wrote Be a Genie. So then when we did the rewrites, then we were able to incorporate some of the newer information that was there.
What can you tell us, Maureen, some of the highlights of Be a Genie for folks to know what they can expect with the book?
Okay, so this book is a book on manifestation. And I've always had an interest in manifestation, and I could always manage to manifest. And as I started to keep track of how I was manifesting, I discovered a number of things. Number one, you don't have to know how it's going to work out. You just have to know the outcome you're choosing. You don't have to be aware of the way it will happen. And those are important pieces that a lot of people don't realize. You don't have to have the full detail. In fact, it's better if you don't, and I explain why. And finally, I was able, in all the study that I did with sacred geometry, I was able to recognize that this particular formula that I was receiving allowed me to prove it mathematically through the sacred geometry. And I can explain that, but I want to give you a chance to ask some questions too.
Well, I jumped right to the explanation part because I was fascinated by that. Can you tell us a little bit about that sacred geometry?
Yes, I can. So I developed a concept called the Phoenix Sequence. And the phoenix, you know, is the bird that rises from the ashes and produces something new. And it, by the way, the phoenix is known in 9 different world religions. And it's a wonderful concept. And when I got the concept of this system, I asked Spirit to give me the name to call it because I didn't know what to call it. And I wanted it to be something so dramatic that people would be able to remember the Phoenix Sequence. And that's when they gave me that information, that to call it the Phoenix Sequence. Now, what is it? It's the idea that you can add any two numbers together to produce a pairing. So you can take any two numbers and create a ratio. If you take 4 and 2, the ratio is 2 because those two divide. Or if you take 2 and 4, then the ratio is 1/2. So what happens in this particular system is you create a ratio between two numbers that are very far apart. Now, this doesn't mean anything until I start to relate it to manifestation, and I'll show you what I mean. I had a woman in a class who showed up and in front of everyone said that what she really wanted to do was to own a horse rescue farm. She was a lowly clerk in a big law firm. And I remember thinking, if there was ever two things that were that far apart, these were it. You know, she had no connection other than her heart's desire. So we did the manifestation work, which I will show you in a second. And a year later, she calls me. She sends me an email, rather, and says, you know, that genie system really works, Maureen. I got hitched. Now, that's really cute in the first place because that only a horse person would say I got hitched. And then she said that she met a man and they got married, and he owns a feed company, and they're developing organic feed for horses. She's now helping him run his website. And, oh, by the way, they have their own horse farm.
Interesting.
How far is she from her goal? She's probably got it now. So the system allows you to hold two versions of the reality. So imagine a big picture window that's divided into 3 sections. You've got the picture window on the left, the picture window on the right, and the one in the middle. Now, the one in the middle is the most important one because that's what you really want. That's your heart's desire. The one on the left, that's your before. And the one on the right, that's your after. So play with me if you would, either one of you, Nicole or Gwendolyn, and name something that you really, really want, that you're willing to play. And I'll show you how it works because it's so much more fun to just do it live.
And something that we want, a goal we're trying to achieve, in other words?
It could be tangible or intangible. That is correct.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to let Nick go with that one, Nick.
Well, I would think about the spirit therapy business and being able to take what I do to a bigger level.
Okay. So you know what you are at now, right? And you could label that in some way.
Yeah.
Okay. And what would the bigger look like?
The bigger looks like giving lectures and having more clients and, yeah, growing like that.
Okay, that's your bigger. Now go to after bigger.
Hmm.
Now, what
internationally best-selling author.
I was going to say, write some books.
Okay. So maybe it involves writing books if you're inclined to write books, but it also might just be that you're well-regarded in the community and you are often known as a speaker. Maybe you're a guest on local TV shows, whatever it is. You're a local or a national expert, wherever you want to be. Mm-hmm. But think about what that might be for a few seconds. I'm going to give you a few seconds of breathing room here. And I want you to look at that and pick a day or an event after you've already achieved your heart's desire, which we've described. You're now at the after. And you're going to have a conversation with someone. And I'll explain why in a minute. But first of all, you're going to have a conversation with someone that's important to you that would be likely to be there and in this after scenario that we're creating. So who is the person you would be talking to?
Diane.
Okay. And when you talk to Diane, Zion. Are you going to be on the phone? I'm sorry?
Zion, but that's funny. My other best friend's name is Diane, so go on.
Okay, so Zion, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're. Are you going to be on the phone with Zion, or are you going to be in person?
In person.
Okay, who speaks first?
Me.
And what do you say? You're talking about this new place of status that you have, that after event. Not the event, not you've already arrived, but the after.
Now that so many people have woken up and have used our tools, it's a wonderful feeling. And so now what do we do?
Okay, so this is a good start. Number one, don't make it dependent upon so many people waking up. That's already going to happen, so you don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just now being recognized as a community leader at whatever level you want, and you make a similar comment to Zion. What does she say back to you?
You know this is what you've always wanted.
And then what do you say? Don't give her any hints, Deborah. This is what happens with everybody, by the way. Everybody has a
I'm
tape.
Doing my own. I'm doing my own over here.
So you probably would say something like, do you remember when it was
right?
Remember when I was just one of the little guys, and look at now. I'm helping so many people. Because it isn't about the people waking up to you.
Right.
It's about the fact that you get to help all those other people.
Right.
And maybe what you do is you share with her a thank you note from somebody.
Hmm.
And that represents something also. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to do this one more time just for the ability of everyone to see this, because what happens is the first time you do it, you make a lot of these little things that you don't realize are going to step in the way and hold you back. One of the things that happens is when you have this feeling of how am I ever going to do this, or the worry or the fear or the issues around whether or not you're worthy, whether you're good enough, whether somebody's going to find out you don't know anything, all that stuff, what happens is you don't let yourself go there. You just stand there looking at that great big castle in the sky, wishing, hoping, and praying, but never living in the castle. So you're going to live in that castle of accomplishment, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And now that you're living in that castle of accomplishment, we're going to do that conversation over again. You speak first, and what do you say to your friend, Zion?
Can you believe that this is all happening exactly the way we envisioned it?
And then she says, I knew this was always what you wanted. And
mm-hmm.
then you say?
I'm so grateful for
okay.
the way.
Okay, this is acting class. We're going to do that last one over. I wasn't convinced.
Uh-huh. How awesome is this?
Feels different, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then she says, yeah, it does. I'm so grateful. I'm so fulfilled. We're so fulfilled. Say it.
We're so fulfilled. I mean, we're so We're so happy that how lucky are we that this is all working the way, in such a wonderful manner. It just flows.
We get to do what we love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's what happens. You keep playing that conversation over and over in your head, and it'll improve. You'll be more convinced. And on it, as you start to do it with a little more freedom, what'll happen is you want to hear your voice and you want to hear her voice. And as you get more comfortable with it, you're going to let yourself say what you really feel, which will be, you know, more convincing. But then when you hear what she says back, that too will be more convincing. And at some point, and it may have even happened a little bit now, when you heard her say, yeah, I'm totally blissed out over this. This is amazing. You shift when you hear your friend say it to you. Now, here's why this works, and there's a mathematical formula behind it. But the reason this works is because real life isn't just using your imagination to create something. Real life is having the conversation that proves it's real. There's all kinds of studies done, and I'll name one Russian one, where they did three sets of basketball players. And the first group was asked to practice at the foul line for an extra half an hour. The second one was asked to think about shooting hoops at the foul line for half an hour. And the third group did nothing for that half an hour. First group improved their game 25%. That means they improve their score 25%. Second group, who only thought about it, they increased their game 24%. Third group, nothing else, nothing changed. What the mind perceives as real is real. And since time is not a real factor, when you create a visual where it contains the physical aspect of you hearing your friend and you have this conversation, what happens is the energy shifts to produce that outcome because it's already real. Mathematically, what you're doing is you're taking those two outside numbers that produce the middle number. And the reason that's so powerful is because the middle number that gets produced with the Phoenix sequence is always phi. And for those of you who love sacred geometry, I'll just take you off on an aside trip on this very briefly. Many of you have heard of the Fibonacci sequence where you add 1 plus 1 to get 2, and then 2 plus 1 to 3, and then 3 plus 2 is 5. And so the sequence is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 89, like that. That sequence is simply adding the pair, the original pair, with the result, and then picking up the previous number, the present number, and getting the next number. So just like your picture window, the previous number is where you're at right now. The next number is where you want to go. And the third number is the number after that, those two added together. So you could call them past, present, and future. Well, what happens is any two numbers added together produce phi on the ninth and tenth iteration. And when you begin to comprehend this, what it really means is any two ideas, when held equally together, will produce that golden mean, that golden ratio known as phi. And that golden mean exists in the relationship between the fingers of the hand to the wrist. It's all over the structures of the bones. It's in the DNA. It's in the relationship between Mars, Mercury, and Venus. The golden mean is found in the Great Pyramid, the Parthenon. Every piece of art that anybody loves has got it in it. So this ratio is the relationship that produces change. It is the relationship that we evolve through. It is source code for creation. So the reason the formula is so magical is when you start to tie it all together and you match these things up, you begin to realize that all you have to do is follow the formula and it's a done deal. And one other thing, Nick, before we get off your subject, when you play this movie of the mind in your head, this genie movie, you can play it 20, 30 times a day. But when you do, at some point, your friend, Zion, is going to say something that you did not script. And that's when you know the universe has got you covered. And it's like a waiter saying, I got it. We got you covered. No problem.
Wow.
Wow, that is so awesome, because you can feel the shift in it, and we never think about the other side of the thing. What happens after, you know, maybe what do I do next? But that feeling of accomplishment, what a wonderful way for manifestation.
Wow. And the amazing thing is, you don't have to know how. Mm-hmm. And this was one of my earliest discoveries, because when I was in my 20s, I wanted to manifest $100. It was a big deal at the time, because I was a young newlywed and I had no money. And I kept seeing this, the $100 would coming in, and then I knew I was going to pick up a paint job, because I picked up paint jobs on the side, and the $100 came in, but it didn't come from a painting job. And I remember being so amazed that I didn't have to know how. All I had to know was what I was going to do with that $100. That was huge. And that was a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah, Michael says that the people, when you say how or why, is when it's like he's showing me, like, you put a glass cover over a cake and it seals it away from everything else. And that the human tendency is to go, yeah, that would be nice, but how or when or why? And then you stop manifestation.
That's right. That's right, because when you allow the universe to fulfill your heart's desire, you end up with the best version the fastest way. And it's kind of like this. When you get in a cab at LaGuardia Airport, you do not tell the taxi driver which of the bridges or tunnels to take into Manhattan to get you to your destination, because they're ones that are watching the traffic. They know the best route for this moment, and it can change. So it's like that. We just have to give the destination. And sometimes we don't realize that the proving of having had the destination is going to stand over there and looking back at it. When we try to make stuff happen, what occurs is we go close to it, but we don't achieve it because we're constantly using our mind to make it happen. What I'm doing is like this push technology that we all use on our computers. You know, let it come to us. Why should we work so hard? And I'll tell you, when I was manifesting my son's tuition, and that's really where a lot of this started, when I started to really scribe this and figure out what to do, what I realized is that initially I was trying to manifest $5,000 per semester, and that was what I owed at this Ivy League school that was over and above what was owed for you know, whatever he got in scholarships and grants and stuff. So I scrambled like a crazy woman to get that money because I just didn't have extra money. And at the end of that, when I finally paid off that first $5,000 bill, I thought, I do not want to do this 7 more times. That's too crazy. And so then I thought, well, what is it that I really wanted? What do you think it was?
All of it.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I couldn't manage to think of what $40,000 would look like. Even though I had run big budgets in the millions of dollars as a CEO, I still could not manage in my mind what would $40,000 look like. I'd never even earned that much in a year. So what I did, I kept working the idea until I came up with a picture that I could accept. And the picture was of an idea of him in a cap and gown. Now, the problem with that is that I couldn't think of that. I couldn't imagine that in my brain either. And the reason I couldn't think of it in my brain is because I was terrified I would fail. I wasn't even worried about, you know, being good enough. It was like, how can I pull this off? You know, I mean, I was hugely in debt for a lot of reasons. So I took a picture from his graduation, and I put it on my desk at work. And every time I was scared, which could be 20, 30 times a day, I would look at the picture and I would role play like I made you do, Nick. And I would say to the picture, there were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. And that's because one of the biggest tenets of the system is validate where you're at and validate your after event equally. Because if you resist where you're at, you'll get more of that. What you think about is what you get. What you resist persists. So I knew I had to say there were some scary moments. I had to let that be okay. There were some scary moments. I was like terrified all the time. And then on the other side, I kept just saying, you know, but it wasn't that hard. And it wasn't. It wasn't that hard. And I paid it off so he could graduate.
Wow.
It sounds like a big part of this is relaxing and allowing.
Yes, it's getting out of your own way and deciding that the opportunities will come to you. When I first came up with the system and I thought, you know what, I want to write a book, but I was terrified to write a book. So what I did is I decided I would do a seminar. Now, this is all in my head, mind you, and I belong to a national organization of people who were in my industry. And I thought, well, I go to this meeting every year. I'm going to see if I can do a presentation. So on the last day of this meeting that I went to, I had breakfast with a friend who sat down with me, and she was leading the industry, and she told me what she was going to do, and I felt safe telling her my dream, that I really wanted to present to this national organization, blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, Maureen, you know, you have to write a proposal and submit it to the staff so they can get it to the education committee. Well, I didn't know that, but I said, well, I knew that, because I was too embarrassed to tell her I didn't. And then she said, yes, but Maureen, the committee that meets in 3 weeks, you have to get it in the next week and a half. So the staff can sign off on it and submit it to the committee. And I said, wow, I didn't know that. And then she said, you know, if you get your idea in this year, I will speak in favor of it, because I've been complaining to the committee that we don't have enough interpersonal trainings for the actual fundraising staff. And I think your idea fits that. And I sit on the committee and it's my last meeting. I didn't even have an outline at that point. But I did get accepted, and I did present. And then that following year when I presented, my goal was to have 100 seats filled, that no one leaves the room, and that more people would come in. Now, if you know about national meetings and these little breakout sessions, you know it's like bar hopping. You go into one, if you don't like the speaker or what they're doing, you just go to another one, because there's always more that you'd like to attend than you can pull off. And that's exactly what happened. 100 people standing, and then more and more people came in, and it was standing room only. The following year, I was not as focused on my outcome, because I had a lot of things going on in my family, and I had a person that was in a wheelchair for a little while, and I was focused on helping them heal. And so when I got to the conference that year, I was feeling very self-conscious and very nervous. Well, maybe it was just a fluke. You know, maybe I won't be able to pull this off again. And so I'm in the furthest away hotel. I'm on the shuttle bus going in, and I've spread out all my papers. I'm like reviewing, thinking that this cramming that I'm doing at the last minute is somehow going to help me. You know, and the bus starts to fill up, and people come in, and I suddenly realize that I'm like hogging this extra seat, and people are standing in the aisles. So I, you know, fold up my papers, and then the bus stops again, and a woman gets on, and even though there's people standing in the aisle, she inches all the way back so she can sit down. She comes to me, she looks me in the eye, and she says, can I sit here? And I looked at her and said, of course. And she said, oh my gosh, I know you. You're the lady who made the presentation. You changed my life. That is what I call a synchronicity.
Yep.
Universe giving you the synchronicity to show you you're on the path that will take you where you want to go.
Yeah. That's fabulous.
Yes, it is.
So really, it's like you didn't have to really focus on it again. It's already in the works and you already know, right?
Yes. And with each time, in my case, you know, I increased the people, but the reason it was important is because it has to be, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be willing to at least do the mental drill, which we went through today. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to do that. But that's not hard because, you know, if you're dissatisfied with whatever you've got, you know, let's say you've got a job you don't like, and that's the great one that people can do. I don't like my job. I love my job, but I don't like my boss. I don't like this jerk that I'm sitting next to, let's say, and it's time for me to leave because I can't put up with it. But you stay focused on, okay, I've got a great job, and I've got great pay, and good vacation schedule. Then that becomes your present. And then your after event is, I've got a job that gives me all the things that I already have, and I love my coworkers, all of them, and they love me. And I somehow managed to do better. So what happens is then you're not offering any resistance. You're staying focused on the things you like, and you're staying focused on the things you like over there. And this is another tool. When I teach people the Genie system, one of the things I like to teach people is what I call twofers. And I was taught twofers by my guardian angels when I was in college and I was in a difficult situation that I did not like. And I was in such a funk, I went in prayer and asked my angels to show me or give me some tool that I could use. And they said, every time you have a negative thought, follow it with two positives. And the first positive will antidote that negative. And the second positive becomes your seed. And oh, by the way, that's the same principle that's used in quantum physics in noise-canceling headphones, because they take the offending sound, whether it's a jet engine or a lawnmower or whatever, and they replicate it in reverse. Those two together collapse the wave. Nothing is left. That's why you need two. The second one is your seed. And over time, the energy dramatically shifts. And that way, whenever you have a negative thought about, I hate my job or I hate this clown that I'm working with, then you immediately force yourself to think two positives. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have never been able to stop thinking a negative thought till after I thought it.
That makes sense, yes.
So if you just can follow your negative thoughts with two positives, then you're covered.
Yeah.
And then you run your Genie movie. Yeah.
So I hate living on a mountain in Prescott, Arizona, but I love my brand new beach house in North Carolina and my new office.
Well, it's not quite that simple. If you've already named what you don't like about where you're at now, you got to name two things that you like about where you're at now. For example, you're close to your daughter. You get to spend time with her. And there's something else there that you got to come up with.
I love swimming in the ocean every day.
Okay. No. And you got to name two positives about Prescott first.
That's why I'm still here.
Well, you got to think about this because there's got to be at least two positives. Because one antidotes it and then the other becomes a seed, which keeps that field from offering resistance, which is going to give you more of what you don't want. So maybe it's because you made good connections here, or you found that you were able to work easily here, whatever it is.
That's very magical. That's very magical. That's a ritual. Yeah.
Thank you.
Extraordinary. This is wonderful. This is the kind of stuff people like to listen to again and again until they get it.
And that's a lot of what you're going to be doing in Scotland with us, right, Maureen?
Yes, some of this. And this is another very interesting thing. You know, when you were talking about the dragons when we're in Scotland, when you were talking about my connection with the dragons and Deborah's connection with the dragons, I have a big connection. But I want to stop for a minute and brag on Deborah, because Deborah is a dragon. And when I first met her, I said something like that to her. And she said, oh, yeah, I've got dragon DNA, like everybody might. And I remember thinking, well, that explains why I thought she was. But so what happened to me is the dragon started showing up, and they appeared in the sky, and they started giving me messages. And I started taking pictures of the clouds that looked like dragons. And it was irrefutable to me. And then I started asking about the dragons, and they started telling me that the dragons were run out of town, so to speak, many, many years ago, a couple thousand, maybe what it would be, 500 years ago, something like that. And they were in the reality as part of the support system for humans. And they were chased out and left. And because there was such a big slaughter of dragons and people who worked with the dragons, that Mother Earth elevated the dragons to an etheric expression so they could not be killed anymore.
You know, you all have connection, all three of you have connections there to dragon energy, and I rarely share this. When I was a child, I would precognitively dream, and they're symbolic, but when you wake, you understand what the meanings are, and my symbol was the dragon. But the dragon came to tell me a secret. The secret was the death of a family member, not once, but three times. But the third time, the dragon was wrong. It was nearly that, but it didn't happen. So as you can imagine, for many years of my life, the dragon was something I avoided.
Yeah, but you say that now, and I got to tell you, Maureen, that company that I always tell you about, Daughters of Isis, that I get the incredible dragon's blood spray, that's Gwendolyn's company.
That's what I do, yeah.
And she's very connected to dragons now because she just came out with a full line of all these aroma essences of dragons. And right. I've been playing with them all week because she sent me samples. And, I mean, this big red dragon of yours, Gwendolyn, is talking right through you. I mean, I could see it standing behind you.
Really? Wow. I really did give the dragon away, but I knew after I had done so that it was because I wasn't ready to hear the secrets. You understand what I mean?
Absolutely. Because dragons are all about clarity. So yes. What that means is when you're trying to sort something out, you can call on your dragons and ask them to help you figure it out.
Yes.
When you need help driving, they're great at clearing out traffic. I have a very good friend who's a chiropractor, and he was sitting in my office one day, and he was complaining about something, and I just looked at him and I said, "You need to call in your dragons." He said, "I don't have any dragons." And I said, "Okay, I gotta go use the bathroom. You sit here and you think about this, and you just close your eyes and ask, if you have a dragon, would they please show themselves to you?" I came back and he went, "Oh my God, it's iridescent. It's this incredible, like, iridescent white," and he gave me its name and blah, blah, blah. He was so excited. So from that point on, then you know, the dragon helps him get easy things like a good spot to park when he's trying to get from one place to another to work, you know, to open up the traffic. And one of the things I always ask the dragons for is when they're helping me, would they please help everybody around me, because I don't want to be just the only one that's getting help here. And they always do. Sometimes the dragons will come in pairs, so I have a singular dragon for me, plus I have a couple of what I would call paired dragons, and they show up by giving you their names. So if you meditate on your dragons and you say, "Okay, I'd like to know my dragons a little better, can you give me your names?" Once you get their names, do not tell anyone, because them giving you their name is the equivalent of them saying, "Okay, I'm your dragon from now on." Because you can call them to help you, and they will. Just call them by name.
Well, now, Maureen, the golden mean that you spoke about before and using it, I mean, that's directly connected, because that's that primal serpent spiral energy that's connected. Now, this is me speaking, and through my understanding, the spiral energy that really creates the universe.
That's
and
right.
That connects back into, because the ancient primal serpent energy is dragon.
That's yeah. What's commonly held, yeah. Isn't that amazing? And,
yeah.
And I think to myself as you're saying that, and there couldn't possibly be any influence of your dragon on that one.
Well, and this brings us to Scotland. I've been there. There's definitely primal serpent energy all through those three islands. Well, the one is connected. But what is it that you ladies are, please tell us about the workshop that you're going to provide and invite us, please, to your Scotland workshops.
An experimental thing. So each location is going to be different. Each location is going to drive this energy. the collection of the people will allow us to pull up the information that we need to teach in the moment. Deborah's going to be working with people individually.
It's going to be a party too. It's not. This is a trip that it's August. It's 23rd through the 30th, right, Maureen?
I believe so. Yeah.
And everybody shows up in Glasgow, and it's all the information is on all of our websites. It's on Readings by Deborah or Maureen St. Germain, or on Facebook if you find me on Facebook. But all of the information about the trip and all these amazing places we're going, and every day, literally, it's kind of like in my aspect of what the dragons are showing me is it's rebooting each morning to this next experience. Right, Maureen?
Yes, and there are going to be some actual, what I will call realignments that are going to come through the people and us. So it requires the presence of individuals, it requires the presence of the location, and it requires our working with the angelic realm and the dragons. And each thing has to come through in a very profound way. So we can't say what that is. Some of the information we've already gotten, what's really clear to me is that the information that what we've gotten is the people who come are pilgrims. They're on a pilgrimage. They're there for this experience of being part of the transformation of the planet. And as Deborah says, every night we get to party and we share our experiences and we have a lot of fun. It's never like a class that we're going to teach in the moment once we arrive. Class is the experiences of going to this sacred place and that sacred place.
Yeah,
I will tell you.
If you've ever been on one of those tours where you get on the bus and they go show you here's the pyramid, you get back on the bus, that's not what it's going to be like. We're actually going to some places that no tours go because Jane Wardlaw, who is also co-leading this with Maureen and I, she lives there and she knows about these places where that one place we're going, Maureen, that has six different sets of stones.
Yes.
That we're actually going to be able to go into and walk among and do ceremony. And my Archangel Michael and I are really excited about this one place, that's Fairy Glen. It's like a hidden glen, like the secret garden kind of place where, you know, Michael wants to dance and play with the fairies.
So what happens is people are supposed to be on this trip. They're called. They hear us talking about it, I'm supposed to be on this trip. It's not even a matter of, oh, I want to go, blah, blah, blah. It's more like, I think I'm supposed to be on this trip. And then they say, okay, now here's another tip that I will give you. And this you can use for any trip you want to go to, or any class you want to go to. This seems a little bit out of your reach. On this trip, put the date on your calendar. Do a prayer in front of your altar, even if it's the altar of your heart, that says, I am willing to go. I'll show up and do my part. I need the removal of all these obstacles. And name it. It might be money. It might be child care. It might be doggy care. It might be grandpa care. I need all these handled. And, oh, by the way, anything else that I have not thought of, can you handle that as well? And I will show up. And what happens is if you're supposed to be on that trip and you really want to go because you announced it to the world with that prayer, it's like open sesame. It's like a party at the Red Sea. Everything will shift and change because you said you would do it. The universe is looking for volunteers to go have a good time with Deborah and I in Scotland. And those who sign up are going to have a fabulous time, as well as do a lot of spiritual work, make some great friends that will be lifetime friends, and have experiences. I actually got a letter from one of my people on my mailing list, one of my clients, who said that she had been on a trip with Jane and her husband, who are the co-sponsors with us, a number of years ago, and she said, it's got to be the best trip I've had in my whole life. We had so many positive spiritual experiences. We had such a good time. We got so much information about the history and the lore and the ancient stuff, as well as what we're doing today to shift consciousness. It was amazing.
Sounds awesome.
And you get that randomly, like that was pretty fun.
It does. It sounds awesome. I think we are coming up to the top of the hour, but I'd like to go on further. It's an interesting conversation. So if you ladies would like to stay around, we still record even though we're not live. It'll be in the archive. If you'd like to stay on for a little while longer.
Sure, we can hang in there. I can hang in there. Can you for a few minutes, Deborah?
Yeah, I've got about 15.
There you go. Okay. Well, anybody who wants to listen in and keep listening, please call in for our guest call-in number, which is 213-816-0357. Just call in, and you'll be able to hear the rest of the show as long as we're going. Okay.
You should tell them how to get in touch with you guys while we're live.
Right, while we're still.
Oh, yes. And we have a freebie, too. Go ahead. Should I go ahead?
Yeah, go.
Maureen St. Germain, MaureenStGermain.com. It's my website, and it's got a free download on it that I have a new one every month. So if you want the current download, it's a fabulous 8-minute meditation that I created for this particular time of year for the March retrograde. And then I also have a gift for anyone who wants to be on our list called the Gene System. That's a very special meditation, and it takes people through a fabulous story about how you can transform, you know, 20 or 30 negatives that you have going on in your head into 20 or 30 positives, and how that has transformed someone's life. And she actually recovered her husband's iPad in New York City after doing all this work.
Give the website for it.
GeneSystem.com. GeneSystem.com. So if either one will lend you in my system, MaureenStGermain.com or GeneSystem.com.
And Maureen is also on Facebook. And mine is really easy. Readings by Deborah. And it's D-E-B as in victory, R-A, .com. And, or you can find me on Shirley MacLaine, but you have to go under shopping. It really is. It's under shopping, psychic readings. But I urge people to go to Readings by Deborah. There's a beautiful video about Scotland that you can watch on the site. And I'm really easy to find on Facebook as well.
Just add you to cart, huh?
Yeah. I know. You have to go to the site to actually believe it, but it's all this sort of clay stuff, and then under shopping, it has all these items that it says psychic reading.
Job for Deborah.
That would be me.
And I'm also doing a trip to France and Spain, which is later on. This trip to Scotland is in August, and the trip to France is in October. And it also is very, very important to the sacred work we're doing. And it, too, will be fun as well as very, very special. So those are all on my sacred journey pages that you can find on my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for giving us the information. Deborah, talk to us a little bit. Will you tell us about your work with Angel Michael and your fascination for the dragons and how you got into how you met Maureen? How did it come together, ladies?
Well, Maureen, I don't even remember how we met. I used to own Mystic Pop magazine, which was an international beautiful color magazine. And Maureen wrote for the magazine. Is that how we originally met?
Yeah, it was so funny because she called me to get me by advertising, and we had this amazing conversation that was so special that at the end of it, I said, I'm in. I wrote this money and budgeting for this, and I'm in. And she said, I like you so much, I want you to write for me. And that's how it started.
And then we ended up getting together in New York City years ago, and I felt like, if there's any explanation, I felt like I got to inhale Maureen's essence that night. And I never have told anybody else except one other person in 18 years I've been studying dragons about having dragon DNA. That was funny that you brought that up.
I have a very good memory, Deborah.
Yes, you do. There I was about six drinks in, and she reading my Akashic records, and I was just blown away. But after selling the magazine, I mean, we've just stayed such amazing friends, and this woman is so open. And Archangel Michael and I work together a lot with the dragons. And one of the times I was talking to Maureen, and it was after Jane and I had already set up this Scotland trip, I had this thing, and I thought, you know, I need to call Maureen. I need to tell her about this trip. And I talked to her about the trip. She goes, oh, you haven't seen my dragon vlog. I want to go. I want to go on this trip. And so, you know, we all joined forces, the three of us, to do the Scotland trip. And I think it's just going to be amazing. And, you know, as far as my work with Michael's like what other people would consider an imaginary friend. I do not channel Michael. He talks to me just like you guys are talking to me.
So you hear Michael is a guide for you.
Michael is the third party that has access to her inner voice.
I like that. If Michael said he likes that, Maureen.
So Michael is just, you know, listening in on the conversations and just jumps in whenever. And it's happened to me plenty of times. We're talking to her, and then she'll say, well, Michael said blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we all appreciate that. And I'm a huge fan of Archangel Michael, and I have a wonderful guided meditation called Meditation of the Archangels. And Michael's, you know, like number one guy, because when I went to write the dedication on my book about the Merkaba, this, you know, the sacred geometry book on meditation and this wonderful meditation tool that I created, with the extra tools I created over the Merkaba, I started to write the dedication, and literally my hand wrote, this book is dedicated to Archangel Michael, who is the original creator of sacred geometry in this reality. And I thought to myself, whoa, I didn't know that.
That's sort of how he is with me. He just sort of says, oh, no, I'll do it. Luckily, you know, I always say, luckily for me, he's not always here. He's laughing right now. But I don't control him. I never have figured out in any way since I was 6 years old, and I remember the first time I actually saw him and heard him. I've never figured out how to call him in. He just sort of shows up when he wants to show up.
Okay.
I have to rescue my puppy from the playpen, so you gotta keep talking for just a minute.
Puppy from the playpen. Maureen, I have a question to ask.
Okay.
When you are working with an individual client, is that what you call a client, right?
Yes. Or a customer, either one.
Or customer. When you're working with someone and you are going to tap into the Akashic, do you use guides, their guides, or anything like that, or is this just an ability to tap in sort of a pure line in, or how does that go?
Well, first of all, it's not advisable to be completely inside the Akashic records because of the ability to change the records inadvertently. So everybody is working with Akashic records guides. And in my work, I was very, very clearly given direction on what to do and how to do it. And we use a couple of things. We first anchor ourselves at our fifth-dimensional self, which is a non-polarity expression of me that's plugged into God. And then from that point, I launch directly into the Akashic records so that I don't carry my personality or my duality ideas into the Akashic records. And then we don't necessarily use a specific name of a specific guide, but I have very specific guides that work with me in the Akashic records. And then when I'm working with a client, I'm also working with their guides from the Akashic records, because each of us have guides that are assigned to us so that when we're tapping into the records, there's somebody that's already, it's like walking into a restaurant. Who's your waiter? You know, so even though the waiter might serve many people, at that particular day, at that particular point, they're serving you.
I see. That makes sense. Can you do this on a planetary level, like planet Earth?
Yes, and I have, as a matter of fact, in the last chapter of the book, Beyond the Flower of Life, I did channel Mother Earth for the questions that were coming up from the students about what was going to happen with the future of Mother Earth, what was going to happen with the transformation of Earth, you know, the ascension of Earth, and things like that. Yeah, it was very powerful, very, very powerful. And it's very interesting to me because I wrote that, you know, back in 2011, and a lot of teachers have come out now saying some of the same things that I said back then. And I'm saying I said, but truly, they said through me. That's really the truth. I'm just a conduit at that point.
Well, we've been...
That's a great book, by the way.
Thank you.
I just had to throw that in.
Yeah. Yeah, we're that book is in its second pressing already. I mean, it's selling like hotcakes.
Right now, we're going through such a series of physical manifestation that is changing this planet from, and the whole solar system is going through it. Well, it's a cosmic event. It's coming out of our heart back down through this solar system. But right now, we're being challenged just on a physical level, with the influences of solar flares in sunspots and a grand cardinal cross that has so many oppositions and squares going on. These are doorways. And so are the series of eclipses, which were coming up on another group, another lunar solar eclipse, which I intuit as doorways. And I was wondering what the Akashic reflection might be, or if you have one on that, or if you spoke or addressed any of these things. Because you can see on a planetary level all of the upbeat or the acceleration of change that is occurring, especially in global consciousness, which we're working with right now in this manifest level through this wonderful intertubes, if you will. But I was wondering what you would have your reflection on that. Just in
I have not gone back into the records to speak with Mother Earth about these changes, but I am aware, as you have described, that we're facing some huge revolutionary energies that are moving through consciousness. And what I believe is happening is it's waking people up to the truth. You know, I saw a blog that said something along the lines of the only thing that was higher on the list of hits when people, you know, wrote queries, higher on the list than the Malaysian plane was sex. Everything else was below it, whether it was President Obama or some famous movie star, whatever it was all below because consciousness is waking up. Now, why are people asking about this? And I think it's a way for the truth to come out. And when consciousness wakes up, it is going to cause a revolution because people have been held back. People have been taught to fall in line and to do what they were told rather than think for themselves. You know, the biggest thing that I run into with individuals is when someone says, well, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say to them, you always have a choice. Well, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And my response is, you always have a choice. You know, when my husband filed bankruptcy and we were still married, that meant that he had to name me as his creditor and that I had to pay all of our joint debt. And I could say, well, I had to pay it, or I could say I chose to pay it, or I could file bankruptcy and not pay it at all. And I chose to pay it. But it's a choice. And when you recognize that it's a choice, you then have unhooked this thing that makes you think that the universe is acting on you. Instead, you are acting on it. So the changes, as we see them, come through. And the solar flares and all of that, there's very positive energies that are coming through that. So even though some science will tell us that it's not good for the electronics, it is for good for consciousness. And there was a big shift with the date of the equinox, and we did a ceremony then, and a bunch of information came through, and we transformed the consciousness of the planet with a group of people that were part of that. And those who had the gift of sight could see what had happened and what we had done. So everywhere you go, no matter who you are, when you gather in groups, if you get the guidance to say a prayer for the change of humanity or to maximize these things that are being told to us are bad, instead say, I want all the good on it, I'm taking the good side of it, what happens is the energy for us shifts. If we're saying, oh, by the way, I'm claiming this for me and for everyone I know or everyone I come in contact with, and oh, by the way, why not include all of Earth, everybody on Earth? What happens is we've given permission for the angelics and the ETs of the light to step in, but they're not allowed to do it unless we ask. So I love that you brought it up because it is very, very important, and we're going to see lots of change in our structures, money systems, the way our government is run, everything. And my heart desire is that we do it in such a way that we're able to shift to that next phase relatively effortlessly. You know, it's like a college student graduates, and then they decide that they're going to go out and work, or they're going to go out and travel. But whatever it is, that transition causes them to be different. And they do it smoothly most of the time. And that's what I'm calling in for us. I'm claiming that we'll be able to do it smoothly. Smoothly.
I absolutely agree. Michael's over here saying, though, he's never known humans to ever take anything the easy way. You guys always got to turn around and complicate it. And just instead of just going with it and making it all good, you're going to find a way to control it or try to change it. So he hopes you're right, and he puts his blessing right there with you.
Thank you. And what I would like to do to close is to give you a lovely little prayer that I figured out from an experience. And it was a combination of circumstances that caused me to make a comment that was coming off of a plane after an overnight flight to the flight attendant that was working the door at the time. And she recognized me and said, hi, Marie, how are you doing? And I was getting on a plane later that day to catch a flight to the East Coast. And I said to her, oh, well, this is my day from blank. I don't want to say the word because I don't want it back in my consciousness. And I could see this strange look on her face, and I realized, what just came out of my mouth? So I quickly recovered and said, this is my day of heaven on earth because I'm flying with United. And I went through a very interesting day where everything worked out smoothly, even though there was a flood in my basement and we had to cut into the wall and fix that pipe and I had stuff to do to repack and everything got fixed, including the airline calling me and saying, you know, the flight you were on is now running an hour late and that's all I needed was that extra hour. Second time it happened, I was having a super busy day and I made that same prayer. The third time it happened, I thought, you know what? I can make this prayer every day. And the prayer is, again, I'm asking for a day of heaven on earth for me and everyone I meet and everyone they meet and everyone meets. And so it is.
And so it is.
So it is.
So could it be.
I was very honored to be on with you guys tonight, and I'm sorry that I have to go.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back and speak with us, Archangel Michael, and especially about dragons.
That'd be wonderful.
And Maureen, thank you so much for coming on board tonight and giving us, that was a wonderful exercise that you did with Nick. I'll be listening to that again. I was getting it as you were saying it. It was unfolding in my head. I saw what you were doing. I thought that was very encouraging.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You have all of their call letters. Go on out and take a look at Maureen and Deborah's sites. And definitely, if you're at all interested go to Scotland. Have a good time.
Sounds great to me. Let's see.
It's a wonderful land over there. It really is. And it's a great trip. I wish you guys a bonny voyage and a safe one. I want to thank you, Nick, for being with me once again. And I hope the weather's getting better up there in New York.
It sure is. And thank you so much. Wonderful to meet you, ladies. I'll be in touch. And so thankful to meet you both.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
So that's the Consciousness Shift this week with Nicole Tomasini, myself. I want to thank once again Deborah Jacobs and Maureen St. Germain for being with us. And we are brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. Go on over and sample some of the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And I guess that's it till next week. Nick, I'll talk to you later and next week on there.
Sounds great. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.